I just like being in the house of the Lord with God's people. I've been saved since I was a 19-year-old boy. I've been preaching since I was about 21. I'm 38 now, and I just can't get enough of the Lord. And I thought one day I'd founder on it, but I haven't. And I thought maybe I could fill myself up, but I've never felt full enough. I always want to get closer. I always want to draw near to the Lord. Amen. I appreciate it. I was telling my wife, and earlier I thought, man, this revival has been as good for me as I hope it is for you. And I appreciate being with you. Appreciate what the Lord's doing in the service. John chapter 10, I thought as they was testifying tonight, God would solidify this in my mind. Verse number 6, the Bible said, "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. And I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And I have come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. For I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." He says, "But he that is a hireling and not the sheep, whose own the sheep is not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep." I want to preach for just a little bit this evening on that abundant life. The Bible says in verse 10, he says that "I have come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly." As we bow our heads together, Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the ordaining of the service tonight, and thank you for everything that has been said and done. Lord, I feel like it has been an honor of you and God, obedience to you. And Lord, I pray that you would just anoint my lips tonight, that I'd be obedient to you even yet further in this service. And God, that your word would go forth. It would refresh, it would strengthen, it would renew. It would be that fresh oil that comes from heaven, God, a revival, Lord, of a soul and a mind. And God, we pray if there's any lost under the sound of our voice, God, that you draw them to an altar of prayer, that they might leave here knowing that they've been changed and made brand new. We thank you, we love you, and we honor you in Jesus' name. We pray and amen. Amen. Thank you for standing to honor God's word tonight. Amen. I'm thankful for you and appreciate this time together. And as I begin to pray throughout the night and even early this morning, it's been a hard couple weeks in my life. My father is sick right now in the hospital, and I plan to go see him first thing in the morning. But you understand that in spite of life that we have, and everybody can amen this, life is not always easy. And amen. And if anybody ever told you that serving God, everything's going to be a bed of roses, they're a liar. Amen. The Bible said it calls the rain to just fall upon the just and the unjust life. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have trial. You're going to have problems. You're going to have issues. That, well, preacher, then what are we talking about and what are we looking at? The abundant life was not the absence of commitment. It wasn't the absence of problems. It wasn't the absence of things that were undesirable in our life. There's a lot of things that happen that may in fact be undesirable. We was coming up the road as we come out of Charleston and headed 77 South. There was a semi truck overturned coming into town and everything was shut down. I thought, you know, the guy driving that truck, he might have been a good man. He might have just, who knows what happened. We could only speculate. But at the end of the day, I'm sure he didn't sign up and say, "I want this to be a bad day today." Nobody starts those things. No one starts out their life that way. And as Jesus is teaching his disciples and those that are hearing the parable that he's teaching, he said, "Listen, if someone tries to come any other way, they're the same as a thief and a robber. There is no other way to the heaven of heavens and to the King of glory except for through and by the name of Jesus." Now, I know that that is unpopular with statement within itself because it's too absolute, it's too exclusive, and best God, I'm as exclusive and as narrow-minded as you could ever imagine. It's a narrow way, the Bible said. It's not a broad way. We are not inclusivists, we're exclusivists. Except you repent and listen, give yourself to God, there is no hope. He said in Acts 4 and 12, there's no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. It is simply an abundant life. And the abundant life, as we see, Jesus begins to digress or to deliver once again a second parable so that they would capture the understanding that I am the door of the sheep. And all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. No one can take the credit or
or the authority or say that there is another way. He is the door. He said in verse number 9, I am the door, and if by me any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture, or the necessity of life, the moving. But you understand that this abundant life that we have today, it is in fact life and the essence of it. But what is so abundant about a life in Christ? What's amazing about a life that serves God, dear friend, is what I want to look at tonight. Beyond the fact that when he saves us, dear friend, that we were dead in our trespasses and sin, and beyond the way the Bible said that the way of a transgressor is hard, beyond the fact, dear friend, that we were without hope and without remedy and there was nowhere for us to go, I want you to understand this little acronym the Lord has given me, that life, first of all, begins when we accept Jesus as our Savior. It's by love of God inside of you and I. Matter of fact, sometimes we get things twisted. We think, man, I love God, but I think it's been sung about. It's also been said tonight that I love God because He first loved me. I wasn't one of the 99. I was the one lost out there in the world. And because of the love of God, the love of the shepherd, the love of the master, the love of the father, He seen fit to seek after little old me tonight. Jeremiah 31:3, He said, I have loved thee, or the Lord hath appeared unto me an old saying, yea, I have loved thee, and with loving kindness and everlasting love have with I drawn thee from. Dear friend, I want you to understand that God's love was not just four little words or four little letters that He put together that you and I would just signify as the world does. The world talks about love many a times over. They love one another, their classmates. They got boyfriends and girlfriends, and their love is so fickle today. Good night, heaven help me tonight. There's a lot of folks' marriage is just as weak. Amen. Oh, God. Buckle up if you think that's the hard part of the message. The reality is such is that love is just simply a word that we use for everything. I mean, we sit down. I don't say it very much anymore because I don't try to eat fast food anymore, but I used to love, amen, a Burger King Whopper better than anything coming or going. I mean, they're just good. I like them. You can't get away from my talking about it. It makes me want to stop on the way home. I love them things. I know that they're wretched for my body. I know that they're not good for me. But dear friend, if they shut down tomorrow, I'd go on and live my life and find a different hamburger, and I'd be satisfied, and I would reminisce maybe at some point back what used to be yesterday. And God help the church to understand today that the same God yesterday is the same day God today, and He's the same God forevermore, and His love changes not. It's still Jesus Christ plus nothing and minus nothing. It is the love of God that has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Dear friend, the Bible said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. His love is what draws us under the abundance of His grace tonight. I read a story some time ago about a little girl and her dad and her brother, and they were walking into the zoo, and the dad had given them quarters, and before they got out, he said, you're going to have your quarter if you're going to get into the zoo. And as they walked across the parking lot, the little brother, as they got to the gate, he said, I've lost my quarter. I don't know how I'm going to get in there. And he looked at her, and they looked around. They searched pockets, and he said, what are we going to do? I told you needed that quarter. And of course the daddy didn't really need the quarter to get the boy in, but the little sister looked out and said, you can have mine. And he gave her little brother her quarter and said, I'll wait in the car. I've been to the zoo before. Dear friend, love is not a word. It's an action. It is not just a noun. It's a verb. It's something that moves. Jesus didn't just say He loved us, dear friend, when He went to the cross of Calvary. He proved He loved us. He proved He wanted us to go home to be with Him one day after a while. Ephesians 3:19 said, and we know the love of Christ, which passeth all knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. There's an abundant life to know that God loves you, but it gets better than that, that when you know you love God, amen, sometimes we find people who get stuck in a situation. I've counseled young people, and I've counseled old people alike, and every once in a while, I'll look at some girl with tears in her eyes and say, honey, he don't love you like you love him. He don't care about you. You need to dry your eyes, fall on your face, ask God to help you. There's a man out there who
will love you, who will take care of you, who will provide for you. I'm so glad you found the one in whom your soul doth rest, who provides for you, who loves you unconditionally and without merit. Someone said, you think God loves me that much? The Bible said in Romans 5 that when we were yet without strength, that Christ died for the ungodly. That was me. He had an abundant life. He died for you and I to prove his love on Calvary for us. John 15 and 12 said, this commandment that I give you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Thank God for Jesus and the abundance of life, that he laid down his life for me and for you. Now some of you still ain't quite capturing this tonight. My wife's back there. Two of our three babies are with us tonight. I would lay down my life a million times over. I'd stand in front of a train. I'd stand in front of a bullet. I'd grab a rattlesnake by the tongue if it was going to keep one of my babies healthy and okay. Hang on, daddies, this is where you shout. Hey, but listen, I might struggle in my flesh to lay down my life and depart from my babies in this world for the drug addict or for the worthless individual or for the murderer, for the pedophile. But aren't you glad that Jesus, when we were lost and undone and ungodly, said that one's worth dying for because I love them. Thank God for his love and his abundant love for you and I. The abundance of life is to know that we're loved by God and to know that we love God in our own heart. Not only do we know that we love him, but that there is an intimacy between us and God that won't be departed. If someone's got to convince you that you love God, you don't love God like you need to. You need to have a personal relationship with him that is based upon your interaction with God alone. Thank God. No one had to cheer me up today. I know that God loves me. I've had a relationship with the Lord since I was a 19-year-old boy. I've not always been perfect. I've not always been faithful. Ain't that the song? But he has. Amen. The intimacy of God. I don't think if we can find people who know the abundance of life and they find themselves in an intimate relationship with Christ, I don't know, dear friend, that they could ever find an unsatisfaction part of life with him. Matter of fact, it's this familiar, personal relationship that we have with God, this intimacy that will make all the difference in your life. If the preacher dries up, if the singers can't get a hold of it, if your spouse ain't being faithful, your children have gone wayward, and you still have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you can look at the storms of life and say, though they fall against me, I shall not fail. Though the enemy comes in like a flood, he shall raise a standard against them. I'm telling you, friends, there's an intimacy that comes from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, that he'll never leave you nor yet forsake you. He's got an intimate, personal relationship with you. You think about the people in the Bible who had known and had seen God. Think of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6, he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Someone said, yeah, that don't mean a whole much, though. His train filling the temple is not the caboose. It's not a cold train, dear friends. It's the trailing of the wedding garment. He's saying, I've seen the end of the veil. He's in the temple. He said, then said I, as I looked upon him, I seen the seraphims fly. Hey, listen, with twain they did fly, with twain they covered their feet, and twain they covered their feet, and they cried, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Dear friend, he had saw something the great that day. Then said I, lo is me, for I'm a man unclean. I'm amidst a people that's unclean. Then stood one of the seraphims, having taken a live coal from off the altar. Oh, he touched my lips, and my iniquity is taken away. Do you remember when you got an intimate relationship with Jesus, and he cleansed you, made you brand new in Christ Jesus? Friends, I want you to understand, there's a relationship that we have with him that should be likened unto anything else. Have you ever seen someone that's talented at painting? Not me. You need me to paint a wall in my house? I can do that for my wife.
I don't, but these people that sit down like Bob Ross. I would watch him when I was little because we only had a couple channels. Inevitably, sometime in the week, I don't remember when, he'd be on. The television, we only had like two channels, you know, and only one of them, two, was color. So we'd sit there and watch this guy paint, and I'd think, oh man, that's a real good picture. I mean, he'd just put the background in, maybe a little lake, maybe a little trees in the front. I thought, oh my goodness, that thing done. It's good right there. And he'd take a step back and say, now we're going to add this. And he'd get a different color and a different brush, and he'd go back at it. And I think, oh my goodness, right when you didn't think it couldn't get any better. I'm not talking about just life. I'm not talking about just a painting. I'm talking about the abundance of life. I'm not talking about just knowing that Jesus loves you. I know that he spoke to you this morning when you got up. And old Bob Russell would turn around and get a different color, and he'd start painting some more. And I'd think, man, you can't do nothing else to the, Brother Schaefer, you can't do nothing else to the photo. And he'd turn around again, and he'd get another color, and he'd go back at it. I mean, he'd have the landscape, and then he'd say, we're going to add a little dust to the trees here, and we're going to add some, and he'd grab black and just put those little curves in there, make those things, those little birds flying off in the distance. You think he can't do nothing else. It's like Brother Adam testified, I had this standard, this thought, this desire, I want, and God did so much more than I ever thought. Why? Because he had a relationship with the Master, and he said, God, I need you to move on this situation. Thank God that he hears you and I in an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of us treat God. I got a wonderful wife, and I'm not saying it because she's back there. I drag her all over the country, all over these three states. I pastor. She deals with all kinds of stuff that some of y'all could never fathom, and we think, how does this even happen? But it happens, and that's okay. We love life, but most of all, I love her. One day my kids are going to get older. They're going to move out of the house, and we're just going to be looking at each other, and I'm going to look at her once again and say, I am so glad that I am stuck with you the rest of my life because I genuinely love you. I'm not just in this thing to raise some children. I'm not just in this thing because you're pretty. I'm in this thing because I love you with all my heart. Now, you understand that when Jesus stands out and he looks at the sheep, he knows that we're hard-headed. He knows that our wool gets out of shape every once in a while. He knows we need a trimming. He knows that the maggots will come and lay eggs in our nose, and we'll beat our head on the rock, and we'll cry for the Master to come along and anoint us with oil and heal us and move on us. He knows what he's getting, and he still loves you so, dear friend. Every once in a while, I'll counsel somebody, and they'll say, well, he just or she won't want to be seen with me. Some of you ladies is already laughing. This thing might have went dead, but it's all right. Turn this one back on. It's okay. He might be ashamed of you, or you might not be the number one.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Now listen, if we don't have an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus, who do we have a relationship with? Someone said, well, just because I don't agree or just because I... Dear friend, Jesus is not going to be your side chick. He's not just going to show up when you want him. You're just not going to call on him when you're in trouble. Either you got a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ or you do not. Someone said years ago, I'm being saved. I'm not being saved. I've been saved by the grace and the mercy and the glory and the grace of God. He has made me a new creature. I have the understanding and the wisdom that God has made me something that I was not. I am brand new in an intimate personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, when you look in the scripture, you'll find one by the name of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was sore and I guess you could say kind of scared in the situation. I believe Jeremiah is young when God speaks to him, much like Samuel was or something of that nature. And the Bible said that he is afraid to speak out. And he said, listen, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and I came as forth out of the womb and sanctified thee. I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. He had an intimate relationship with the Lord, God of heaven? Does he have one with you? Or you just take selfies with him every once in a while? Do you just tag him every once in a while? Or is he on your main, you young kids, is he on your main page, a main feed? Or is he your apple, your eye? Is he all that you desire? He said, oh Lord God, and behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not that I'm a child, for whither thou shalt go, and I said, I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces. I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And the Lord hath put forth his hand, and he touched my mouth. Oh, listen, Jeremiah knew, I've got a God that's going to be with me. I've got a God that's going to comfort me. I've got a God that's going to help me. I'm not going to say to you, I wouldn't dare say to you that you'll never see sickness. I wouldn't dare say you'll never have a cancer scare. But I will tell you, he said, I would go with you all the way, even unto the end of the world. We've got an intimate, a personal relationship with the Master. Thank God, God loves us, and we have an intimate relationship with him. The abundance of life. Thank God we can call on him in our midnight hour, in our crisis. Isaiah 41 and 10 said, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. I'll uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Dear friend, he said, for I am the Lord thy God, and I am thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, for I will help thee. When my little girl McKinley, the oldest daughter of mine, when she was a little baby, 3 years old, I'd put her on the steps in the little split level house we had, and I'd say, jump to me, honey. And she'd just apprehensive around and twist and turn, and she'd get right on the edge of the step, and I'd say, come on, I'll catch you, just jump. I mean, she was a whole 28 pounds. She was nothing. She was light as a feather. And I'd say, come on, honey, just jump to daddy. And dear friend, I remember the first time she jumped, she was scared, and I was laughing, and I caught her. And this would go on almost every single day. Brother Robert, one day I came through the house, and when you was going into the kitchen, and the stairs were right there, and I heard her say, dad, and I turned, she was midair. Hey, listen, and I caught her at the same time. Our cheeks fell against each other, and it was kind of a rough catch, but you know what she knew? Dad, he was going to catch me if I leave this step. You and I, we're afraid sometimes to take a step of faith, but when has he let us down? When has he failed us? When has he not been there? When has he not shown up in the midnight hour? Because we had a personal relationship with the Lord. Let me say this tonight. He loves you. You can have an intimate relationship with you. Dear friend, when you get saved and you live in the abundance of life, you're going to have some freedom in your life. F is going to be for freedom tonight. Now, you may not know freedom or understand what I'm talking about, but you understand that there is freedom. There's where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. It's freedom. Thank God we still have some liberty and some freedom in our country. We had some missionaries come to our church several months ago, 8-9 months ago, something like that, from Bulgaria, right against the Ukraine border. They're dealing with a bunch of refugees right now coming over and ministering to them. Their church is doing fantastic. All these people coming over, and with tears, the wife looked at me. She's a Bulgarian. She's raised there, and her husband's an American, and they have this missionary work over there. She said, I know that you feel slighted. I know that you don't feel like you have freedom like you used to. With tears in her eyes, she said, but I'm telling you, you've got freedom that we would still die for, that we desire, that we yearn for. Dear friend, let me remind you today, you may not always have a good day when you wake up, but thank God we've got freedom now because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because of the liberty that we have found underneath Emmanuel's veins. The Bible said in Romans 8:1, there is now, therefore, now no condemnation to them that walk uprightly, who those that walk in the Spirit. Hey, listen, we've got liberty and freedom at the hands of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, when Jesus talked to those Pharisees of the day, he said, listen, you're bound in your trouble. You've been bound by your own law. John chapter 8, and the Bible said that when they looked at him, they said, we've not been bound by any man. Abraham is our father. And Jesus' reply to them was, and he said, you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
later on in that chapter. He said, if therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. There is liberty and there is freedom. Dear friend, it will not happen in the world. It will not happen with religion. It will not happen with religious works. Though I am not opposed to religious works, there's a lot of structure. There's a lot of things in this book that is there for our guidance, for our help, for our ministering. There's a lot of traditions. He said, don't remove the traditions. Don't pull aside the old landmarks. But God, help us to understand the freedom that Jesus gave us at Calvary over the wretched life that we used to live. Someone said, you must be fear-free. That's not so. I just know I've got freedom in the Lord. Sometimes I don't know how He's going to work it out. But I know He's going to work it out. When I first moved down here almost 8+ years ago, I left a state job with a good salary and really good insurance. And I moved down here and had some small insurance company that we paid a lot of money for. I got sick. My first year as a pastor and living down here, it was like Satan had took his hand against me and God allowed some things to happen. I truly believe that almost like Job. I had sores at the top of my head to my ankles, not all the way to the bottom of my feet, but literally to my ankles. I blew a disc in my back. I had 2 tumors on my throat. The first surgery happened in March, and then 29 days later, I lost my insurance. There was a lapse in my insurance. On the 30th day from the first surgery, they had to go back in my throat and they had to pull out some more because they missed some. The only thing is my second surgery wasn't covered under the insurance. And then I finally pleaded my case. They said, well, you got another problem because they have coded this surgery as a birth defect. I said, what are you talking about, a birth defect? I mean, I had a softball ball on my neck and on my throat that was wrapping around my vocal cords. And I thought, what are you talking about? And they said, sir, we really can't help you until the hospital at the time, which was Thomas Health, was getting bought out and all their coding was shut down and no one would answer the phone. And this goes on forever and forever and forever. And they said, you're going to get turned over to collections. I said, do what you need to do. I've got insurance right here. I've got all these people. I would have 3-way calls every single month to try to get everybody on the same page so that they would just pay my bill for the insurance that I'm paying for that's already been maxed out of pocket, and I'm getting $20,000 bills, $1,800 bills from anesthesiology, $20,000 from the hospital, this doctor and that one. And I'm saying, you guys got to do something. You got to figure it out. We're going to send you to collections. I said, I won't pay it. You can do what you want to. They said, sir, you got to pay it. I said, you got to do your job and do what you need to do. And dear friend, God, help me tonight. This goes on for nearly 2 years. I get a lady on the phone. She said, I see where you have called for almost every month for 19 months. And I said, yes, ma'am, I have. And I don't know what took place. If I just got the right person, I know what took place. God moved on the situation. And you talk about freedom. I said, ma'am, I just need someone to help me. I have been through this every single month. People tell me it's going to get resolved. People's going to do this. She said, sir, from this point forward, you have a zero balance and one strike of the key. That lady paid off every medical debt I had and did it the right person, and one movement of her finger erased all that was against me. You talk about freedom, friend. I was lost and dead and undone, ungodly, wretched, and not worth a single cent. But Jesus came in and with one blood drop upon my soul, He washed me, made me white as snow. Freedom that comes from God. But church, don't forget why we're free. Ephesians 5 said, stand. Ephesians 5 and 1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again under the yoke of the bondage. Don't you for a minute think that you can go out there and be holy without Jesus. Amen. Don't you think you can clean yourself up any more than what the blood can clean you up? The freedom that we have in Christ is the surrendering to our life unto Him for the cleansing and the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. Any and everything that you have listened to for the last 25 or 30 minutes is for the glory and for the purpose of God. I was a wretched individual. I'm just a saved individual who's still wretched in my flesh. But thank God, the freedom that I know, having that I've got a new body likened unto the Son of God. And one day He's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you a ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord, dear friend. There's a grace and a mercy and a freedom that comes from God. But now there's also a freedom physically in our life too. You know that someone can be bound in their spirit. We would consider them lost. There's people that love God and they can be bound in their mind. You may not know them. And if you don't know anybody, you might be that person. When you read the Bible, one of my I've got a lot of favorite portions of Scripture, but Acts chapter 16 comes to my mind tonight. Paul and Silas is locked in a prison. They've been beaten and thrown inside the jail about the midnight hour. Physically, they're locked up. They've been beaten. They've been shoved in the inner side of the prison. But on the inside, someone said, they got an abundance of life. How do you know that? It says about the midnight hour, they prayed and they sang praises unto the Lord. I think he looked over and said, amen, at Peter or Paul and said, hey, you got that song that you sang this morning before we were beaten, before we were locked up, before we were hungry and left for dead. And he said, I sure do. Key it up. And they sang it again. Hey, listen, like a broken record, they just kept playing the same song over and over, and the Bible said that the prison cell began to shake and an earthquake came along. And dear friend, they found freedom that day. But you want to know how they had it in the first place? The Bible said, oh God, help me tonight. The Bible said that the prison man came, and when he came at that time, he was getting ready to do himself harm. The Bible said he cried out and said, do thyself no harm. And he ceased from that time. He called for a light and he looked at him, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He said, believe, be baptized, thou in thine house shall be saved. It gets better. Don't stop just with the miracles when you read your Bible. Get the context, man. Get down in there. The Bible says he takes them back to his house. It's somewhere after the midnight hour. It's dark. He's been baptized. He's got the Lord in his life. He takes them back to his house. He feeds them. He cleans their wounds. But listen, the next day, the Roman magistrate call, or the magistrate of the day, not the Roman magistrate, they call. And guess where they call? They said, you send those people out and you lead them out privately because they're Roman citizens and we got no business to hold a Roman citizen. And the jailer goes, but where does he go to? Back to the prison. Just because they were in bondage in their body didn't mean that they were in bondage. They had freedom in their heart. They left there. They could have ran hightailing it, but no. They went right back to where they were. And they said, go out and send the men out privately so they don't see that they're Romans. And guess what they said? Ain't happening, old boy. You can let the world know. You put us in this situation. You've persecuted us. We have a liberty and freedom in Christ. No matter what you do to this body, we're still going to serve God. I wonder how far I can take that tonight. You know that there's going to come a day, money shall cease, things will stop, the world will look at you and they'll want to know if you've got freedom and liberty or not. They'll say you take the mark of the beast upon your hand or upon your forehead. And if you don't do that, you will not eat. You will not trade. We'll watch our babies begin to get initiated and hungry, and malnutrition will strike us. And those, God help us tonight, friend, who reject the beast and the mark of his calling will have a high prize and glory. Not because the body was without problems, but because we had freedom and liberty from the Lord. You think about that. Lastly, let me say this, that there is something that Christ will give you and I in an abundance of life, his love, an intimate relationship with him, freedom, but an empowerment inside of our life. Someone said, I don't know if I can live it. You can't. You won't. The Bible says in Proverbs, like a dog returned to vomit. You go out there and try to live it by yourself. Dear friend, you won't get nowhere.
You'll be like the man that the Bible speaks about who had a bad spirit and he cleaned himself up and swept the house. And when he went out and he didn't find a place, he went back to where he came from and found seven spirits worse than the first. But when you give your life to Christ, you have an abundance in Christ and you have an empowerment inside of your life that you didn't have before. God help me. In Ecclesiastes 8:4, the Bible said that where the word of the king is, there is power. And those who under him, who what say, what sayest thou? Every once in a while, someone will pick up the phone and I'll call a trustee or I'll call someone in the church and say, hey, can you do this? I need you to pick this up. They're like, I'm unsure if we can do that. And I'll tell them, you said the pastor told you to do it. That card don't work a whole lot, but every once in a while, it will work because someone sent them. When you go into this world, you stand, but you don't stand in your own power. You stand in the power and in the might of God against the wickedness of the world. He'll empower you to live an abundant life. I'm going to have a Rolls Royce. That's not what I said. I'm going to live in a mansion. No, sir. I'm never going to have a sickness and every day is going to be a bed of roses. Absolutely not. The heresy that is taught so thick at times amongst television and some of these things that we are seeing inside of society today. But the Bible does say in Isaiah 40, he said that I'll mount you up as wings as eagles. You shall walk and not faint. You shall run and not get weary. Dear friend, listen, though the young shall utterly fall, he said, I'll lift you up. I'll be there with you. I'll empower you. I'll help you. I'll go with you. John 1:11 said that he came to his own and his own received him not. But John 12 said, but when those that came to him, but as many received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. He has empowered the believer that we can live this life, that we can live an abundance of life. An abundance of life is not a materialistic thing. Not one thing have I described to you has been materialistic. I've been in the hospital. My babies have been in the hospital. I was in the hospital visiting someone before I got here. Good people can have some rough things going in life, but we've got a God and a power source that we can call upon. Matter of fact, last Tuesday night, 10:58 at night, I got the phone call and they said, Pastor, and there a new couple coming to my church from the area. Had just moved into the area and my mommy is sick. They say she's not going to make it. Her blood pressure went out. She got a kidney transplant. We don't know what to do. I said, I'm on my way. When I get there, there's her husband is shaking, a daughter and a son and another son out of state. And the doctors say, the family can't come in right now. I went to the nurse's desk, the bottom of the ramp, CAMC. Many of you have been there right at General Hospital. I said, this is Pastor Hatfield. If it's at all possible, I'll slip in and pray with this woman. I'll get right out of the way. Just give me a moment with her. And they said, sir, it's critical right now. You're going to have to give us a minute. I said, ma'am, I'll wait and gladly wait for anything that you can give this family. And they come out 4 minutes later and say, just the pastor. When I go in the room, it's everything you're thinking about. It's tubes and machines by the dozen. It's a terrible looking situation. Hey, listen, I go in there, there's nurses all around, and I call on a name that's much higher than I, whose name I'm not worthy to loose, whose latches I could never touch, whose feet I should never wash, and I called upon the name of God. Hey, listen, I step back out of the room, and nothing much changes. The surgeon comes out, I see the nurses pointing at me. This is 11:40 at night. Hey, listen, here comes the surgeon. The surgeon says, are you the pastor? I said, I am tonight, honey. I don't know this lady, but I know the family out there, or some of them anyway. He said, walk out, take me to the family. It's everything you don't want to happen. We bring them out there, and the surgeon looks at the family, and the family says, is there hope? And he shakes his head. He said, your mommy, your wife is digressing minute by minute, but the surgery is going to be exploratory. We don't know what's going on. We don't know the issue. We see a problem, but it could be way worse when we get in there. Is she going to make it? He said, I don't know. But she's not going to make it if we do nothing. Take her back then.
He said, before they go back, you family and the pastor come pray real quick. They let the family sit by her side until the OR room was ready. Then they had to leave. Ventilator tubes, machines going off, everybody in high pace. 3:58 in the morning, they get finished with her. Sunday afternoon, they pull the vent out and they sit her up in her seat. When I seen her with the vent, her eyes were open and she was trying to say thank you. She couldn't speak to me, but she remembered my voice. Whoo! Aren't you glad for an empowerment that comes from God? On the way here tonight, I stopped by the hospital, and the prettiest big brown eyes, a gray-headed woman opens up her eyes, and with tears in her eyes, she thanked me this time, and I said, it's so good to hear your voice. The other times I seen you, you couldn't speak to me, and I just had to speak before you. God, help us tonight. The empowerment is not for us to speak for ourselves. It's for the Lord to speak before us and on behalf of us as His children. Thank God. It's not in man. It's in the Lord. It's in His Holy Spirit. As sons and as daughters, He said that why we can therefore call upon Him and cry, Abba, Father. He may not do what I want, but I know He inclines His ear unto me. He hears what I've got to say. And thank God He won't always give me what I want, but He'll give me what I need. And one day after a while, I'll stand before Him and say, thank you, Lord, for every prayer that you did and did not answer. You empowered me. Why? I was on this earth. The church has forgotten to some degree. Maybe the wickedness of the world. Maybe, like Matthew says, the love of many in the last days, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many would wax cold. Maybe that's got something to do with it. But maybe just the church has forgot. You don't need to be ashamed to pray over your food when you're out to dinner. You don't need to be ashamed to call upon the name of the Lord. You certainly, just like our sister said, don't need to be ashamed to invite someone to the house of God or to tell them there's a God who loves them, cares for them, sent His Son to die at Calvary for them, that they might know Him in the pardon and remission of sin, that they might know that they have the full assurance of grace in their life and their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that they might know that they've got a heavenly mansion up there. Some of y'all are just going to get a room, but I'm glad that I'm going to get a mansion over there. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about tonight, but dear friend, I know it all too well. There's some place up there and it's got a reserved spot saying this is for that son named Hatfield who's got a new name that's written down in glory. But this is when it happened that he became mine. Let me give you one more scripture. Let's get the singers coming this way. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. And ye shall be endued with power after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Don't stop there. And you shall be witnesses unto me, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Why do we need to be endued with power? So we can witness of what God has done for us. You want to live in the abundance of life, dear friend? You live knowing that Jesus has saved you, changed you, that you're destined for a heavenly home, and that you want to tell others that they can come along with you. My kids have too much freedom in my home. And it seems like the church acts as like they got no freedom anymore. My kids never, they should, and I get on them every once in a while if I think they're getting too far out of line, but they'll go get a snack when they want a snack. My little 3-year-old, 4-year-old back there now, I guess, she went and got her slice of cheese. I said, what are you doing in that refrigerator? This earlier today, and she held it up like it's not candy, like I'm not in trouble, just cheese, like just a piece of cheese. And I said, that's all right, go ahead. Sometimes we live in the world long enough, we listen to enough garbage of the world, we're afraid to worship God, afraid to fall down before His face, afraid to call upon His name, afraid to ask about His freedom or His liberty or the empower, afraid to ask for God's power upon our life. God go before my marriage. go before my babies. In a wicked and ungodly world, go before my babies. God, help us tonight to fall down and ask for Him to empower the church once again. Send revival. The pastor said old time conviction and old time conversion will only happen when we believe in the power of God resting upon man that changes a man and makes him a brand new creature. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1 and 7, for He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind. I was talking to my brother-in-law the other day, and he goes to a different church, but we picked him up, and he'd been sober for 15 months, something like that. 100% sober, not a drop of alcohol. Give his heart to the Lord, been serving God. Wasn't drunk for 7 years, something like that. I'm not talking about had a few beers. I'm talking about lose everything. Couldn't keep a job. You didn't know what you was going to get at Thanksgiving. You didn't know how Christmas was going to fall because you didn't know if he was going to show up. Be sad if he wasn't there. Be sad when he was there. Be tough. You didn't know what you were going to get. I love him like my own brother. He rode with us Sunday, and we had dinner together at the Hong Kong Buffet there in South Charleston. We was coming back home. We were talking about God powering people and strengthening people. He said, you know something upsets me? And I said, tell me, buddy. People say that they're a recovering addict, a recovering drunk. I said, that upsets you? He said, yeah. I'm not recovering. He said, I'm new. I'm not what I used to be. But I tell you, we'll never live in the abundance of life until we believe God to empower us to make us brand new. As we stand across the building and they come to get a song, friend, I don't want to just live in life. I want to live in the abundance of God's life.